Yeah.
So now that you did it, are you done with ag?
Oh no.
Okay. I got a bunch on timber when we get there.
I'm now jumping down to the ag processing because we talked about this at our last meeting. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this says small scale. Was this put in for my bringing up that, hey, we're trying to, with restrictions on water,
mm-hmm.
we're being forced by the state to grow more grain crops. And the only way we can generate a livable income off of grain is if we can add value to it.
Yep.
And so this would be an administrative use permit to allow me to build another small barn or utilize an existing barn to do seed cleaning, yep. bag it, and sell it.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And I'll read the definition just so it's in record. Agricultural processing, small scale, a use involving the processing, packaging, or storage of agricultural products where a substantial portion of the materials processed are grown or produced on the subject property or within the local agricultural area. Processing activities may include cleaning, sorting, grading, drying, curing, fermenting, milling, pressing, or similar operations that prepare agricultural products for market. This use is intended to remain compatible with surrounding agricultural or rural uses and to support local agricultural production and does not include large-scale or industrial processing operations, central processing facilities serving a regional market, or uses characterized by significant off-site impacts such as heavy truck traffic noise or emissions inconsistent with the surrounding area.
Okay, that works. The next one I have a question for clarification and maybe further delineation. How is staff defining commercial feed yard?
Let's see.
Is that referencing bringing out, if I were to be bringing in outside animals owned by other people, feeding them out to a market weight, then I'm commercial feed yard? But so, if all I'm doing is feeding out cattle that I've raised, that would not require a use permit.
So the definition currently is general. So for commercial feed yard, it says a small confined land area, structure, pen, or corral where cattle, horses, sheep, goats, or swine are maintained in close quarters for the exclusive purpose of fattening such livestock or holding temporarily for shipment to market.
Okay, so here's what I would put forward. Commercial feed yard, if I were to contract feed for outside ranches, okay,
mm-hmm.
I get that, and I've got to play ball with the North Coast region for that.
Okay.
If I'm feeding my own bred, born, raised livestock, whether they be cattle, sheep, hogs, on my place, my animals, I should not have to get a use permit to fatten them up to sell them.
I wouldn't
to market.
I wouldn't think you would either. That's just agricultural use. That's just the normal.
So that
clearly define
the delineation needs to be made there.
Just
on
in case.
That commercial is, it's an enterprise where you're bringing outside and livestock to be finished. It does not,
not
apply
yours.
To born and raised on the ranch.
Yep.
There needs to be a delineation.
Okay.
No. Oh, if commercial feed yard means contract feeding for others, yes,
right,
then that would be accurate. I'm just making sure that it's not referring to me keeping 12 steers, 20 steers, feeding them out.
No, I mean somebody who's running a commercial operation where you're running over 1,000 head.
Yep.
And the majority of it belongs to somebody else.
Correct. That should be a use permit, but it's going to be picked up by North Coast Water Quality Control Board. It should.
No, it's not.
Because it's considered a CAFO.
Nope. When staff looked at this.
I already know they don't touch it.
Yeah.
Well, I wish they would.
Yeah.
when staff looked at this, we just commercial feed yard, we're thinking like terrace ranch, you know, when you're driving, it's whoa. You don't want that just permitted by right. You could probably get a use permit. So like the community and the planning commission and the county has an opportunity.
The problem is that staff often uses the term commercial agriculture, which is a definition that I fall under, even though I'm just a single
I think
rancher.
All agriculture is commercial, right? Unless you're just feeding your family. Right.
That's why I want to be careful on our definitions.
Yeah. Sure.
But that was the intent, like those large scale operations, you definitely want to use permit. You don't want them to just be like, okay, we're going to have 2,000 head of cattle now next to Lake Pasadena.
Okay, so funny you should mention that. The one that's existing, which is 1,000 plus head, are they going to be required to get a use permit?
Yeah.
From the county.
So it would be a continuing operation, right? It would be grandfathered, non-conforming, or whatever the case is. However, if said operation wants to expand, right, buy up nearby property and, you know, expand and grow the operation, then typically you're required to come into compliance with whatever the current regs are.
How are you going to know they're going to expand?
Well, they would come to...
Are they, though?
What if they didn't?
Well, they need a building permit before they could expand anything.
Even if they didn't expand, right? Your existing use, if it was allowable under the, if you didn't need a use permit back in the day, then you wouldn't need one now because it's grandfathered in. But if you needed a use permit back in the day and you didn't get one, we shouldn't allow that. That's what I mean. So they would have to somehow come forward and provide some sort of substantial information that we would be able to be convinced by. Because we have these situations where they say, well, we've had this mobile home park. It's been in existence. Unless there's a use permit, or they can verify, like, yeah, showing pictures or even receipts, like, yeah, see, we have a picture of the mobile home park. It existed back in 1960. Then we could at least conclude, like, okay, the county's known about this for all these years and nothing's been done. So we could use that as evidence or proof to say, yeah, this is probably permitted in the past or allowed to be permitted or continued, so why would we enforce it now? But if you have no proof that this was actually a mobile home park back in 1960, we don't have to rely on that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I just kind of get confused on the what's a non-conforming use versus a conforming use, because at some level it seems like you don't really have a hammer.
Right, yeah, well, and the way it's currently written, it's confusing for non-conforming uses and,
So where does the water issue come in here? When you're pumping water out of the ground and then piping it 2 miles to the feed yard on a separate parcel, the county has jurisdiction over groundwater. Groundwater law is carrying rights where that well is at apply to that parcel. You take it off that parcel, you're going someplace else. You need an appropriate permit.
It's tough, Commissioner Hart, because our code doesn't talk about water at all, so it's hard for us to say.
And yet we deal with that whenever we do a subdivision?
You have availability of water. But again, we've had subdivisions approved with no water, right? I mean, So obviously someone messed up in the past. But generally, you want to make sure there's water there if you're going to allow homes being built. But, it's hard for the county to enforce any water regulations, right? Because it's been occupied by the federal and the state regulations. And you can tell because our county code, we're silent on water. We don't talk about, you know, you have to clean your ditches or, you know, you know this. You know, you've looked through the code, I'm sure.
The conversation I had with the DW or the State Water Board staff last week, jurisdiction of water, groundwater, lies with the Board of Supervisors, period. That's state law.
You're talking through the GSA and stuff, right?
The GSA, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Which they say that's your jurisdiction, but if you look at the GSA, they just have to follow state law. So it's really, you know what I mean?
Basic,
right? So it's not, we have control of the local, but you have to follow the rules that we set. So
let's close that.
Yes.
Right. It is like that. Yeah.
You can do what you want as long as you do what I say.
I hear nothing.
I think is the rule, right?
Okay. My next one is on page 203, dairy, commercial poultry, and hog farms.
These are, these were pulled just from my memory. These are the exact, the existing.
Yep.
These are the existing.
Oh, I know they are.
We have new definitions.
They were from in the original general plan, pasture or range, hogs and dairies weren't thought of.
Mm-hmm.
They're common then. If you are wanting to operate a confined hog farm, poultry farm, or dairy farm, you have to get a permit with North Coast.
Mm.
For pasture, you're supposed to. And I know Martins have it, Hales have it, for their dairies. Well, this isn't feedlot. This is dairy.
It's the same thing.
And that's why a number of the
when you say Martins, you're talking about Scott Valley.
Martin Dairy, Hale
right
Dairy.
Next, okay.
They're all permitted through North Coast and statewide, predominantly North Coast. I would put forward that the county just flat, by right, you allow it. As long as they're meeting state or regional permits, the county does not need to be involved. It should be a P, permitted by right.
Okay.
And if they're doing pasture or range dairy, range hogs, Rockside is doing pasture chickens. They don't need a permit for that. Until they do something that triggers a regional board permit, then let them deal with the regional board. Do not tie up the county staff dealing with having to issue permits to raise hogs, have a dairy, or run chickens.
Yeah.
Well, this is exactly why we have this meeting, right? It's so you can go through this and what is existing in our code and what you would like to see changed. And this is one of those things that you'd like to see changed. So yeah, we could do that for sure.
Okay. Then I'm going to drop down two rows, growing and harvesting of timber.
Can I just clarify that? It's permitted by right in AG1 and AG2?
Yep. Yep. The growing and harvesting of timber, we have existing AG1, believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
and AG2 zoned land that is productive timberland.
Yep.
And it should not have a little dash in there. It should have a P for permitted by right.
Yes. So what's happening at the Board of Supervisors, this is a little separate, but what is happening at the Board of Supervisor level when the board is evaluating Williamson Act contracts? When there have been folks on zoned ag land that are growing, harvesting timber, they recommend that they switch to TBZ.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been something that's been happening around the past like year and a half, 2 years. And so we've processed.
Do they still have the management plans? Because we haven't seen many of those come through.
Yeah, they've been non-renewed, and then they're working towards
that. They're working towards it. Okay.
I think maybe there's been like one or two. I think we've reviewed maybe in about
Acer for us.
Yeah, Acer. You know. So
oh, and I missed that meeting last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, so that's something that's been happening. So I know it's a little separate because it's Williamson Act specific, but the current group of the board, the way they see it is, you know,
push
you
it
need,
into
it's more. You know, they
yeah,
feel
if
it's
you're growing
a better use
timber, it should be
in TPC.
Well, yeah, and I can see that too at some level because.
Whoa, time. And we've got an individual sitting in this room who has harvestable timber and has harvested timber.
It's under Williamson Act.
Under Williamson, and it's AG2 and a part of it's AG1. And it is still running cattle on that land.
Yeah, good point.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a loafing barn still up there, and it's used for cattle.
Mm-hmm.
The county should not be telling that individual, you have to convert that to TPZ.
Yeah.
It should be allowed to harvest that timber by right on that land. Period. I mean, if supervisors want to do conversion and the landowner's willing to do that, okay, fine.
Sure.
But if the landowner says, no, this is part of my working ranch,
sure.
then we need to make sure that for AG1, AG2, it is permitted by right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I could see that because you still have the accessory, you know, the grazing, the ag use. Sure. Because the thing with the difference between Williamson and TPZ is Williamson, you have to have an annual product.
Yes.
You don't under TPC.
Right, and those are more geared towards the properties where there's not other ag uses happening. It's just strictly, you know, so, yeah.
Okay.
So, for clarification, the recommendation is to allow ag growing and harvesting of timber as an allowed by right use in AG1 and AG2?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
As well as all zoning that's forested. I mean, technically, when it comes to forested landscapes, whether it's rural, residential, commercial, they should all be by right because that is regulated by the state of California and not by the county. So, just as a general, I'll get there though.
Okay, my next one is down on page 204. And I'm thinking back in the not too distant past on school, trade, and vocational not being allowed, period, on AG1 or AG2 land. I'll ask a specific question. There used to be, and in fact, our ag teachers are wanting to bring it back. It was a ROP class, and it was ag construction and repair. And my dad was the teacher, and it was taught on our ranch, in the shop, and Billy Fowler was in it, Julius Pereira, a number of individuals who are still, well, Julius is retired now, but went on to work on ranches. But it was a vocational class in combination with a high school.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be seeing more and more opportunity, whether they be internships wouldn't necessarily fall into this, but I think we're gonna start seeing with the change in our education going towards vocational trades, whether it be construction, animal husbandry, welding, etc.
Yeah.
A lot of these institutions may not have the financial ability to create that environment, but can enter into partnerships with existing farms and ranches that have the facilities for those courses to be taught at. I'm not saying it should be allowed by right, but I would like to see in that school, trade, and vocational row that it be at least, frankly, I think an AUP would be adequate. I think it should be allowed.
So we do have instructional use allowed through an AUP, which I think is what you're speaking to. So let me just read the definition.
Okay.
Of use providing organized instruction or training in a specific subject, skill, or activity outside of a primary or secondary school setting, including workshops, classes, seminars, or similar instructional activities. The use is intended to accommodate instructional activities on a reoccurring or a periodic basis and to remain compatible with surrounding agricultural or low-density uses. This may include accessory materials and equipment necessary for instruction, but does not include schools offering a full academic curriculum or uses primarily characterized as events, assemblies, or entertainment.
So that last part that you said wouldn't include...
Schools offering a full academic curriculum, so... And correct me if I'm wrong, like a primary school, right?
Like an ITT Tech would be a vocational school, but it offers like, it's like a smaller version of a college, essentially.
Right. Get no, I'm familiar with ITT.
So essentially, the instructional...
Everything would take place on the ranch. That would not
right.
be acceptable.
And that's...
If it's simply one class being taught twice a week or whatever for 2 months, that is acceptable.
The instructional
and the instructional
use.
Is tied okay. is tied back to that to like some of the operations too. Because okay. The example you gave is actually perfect for instructional, because if it's dealing with electrical or building trades or tractor supply or any other farm equipment, it's all related back. It's just trying to, I mean, a vocational school could be a beauty salon.
Okay, yeah, that true. Makes more sense. When I saw the instructional, I was thinking more of like a one-day field day.
All right.
Not a regular twice a week for 2 months.
And the definition gives the flexibility and leeway, so it's not okay. like that one-time thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can live with that.
Okay.
But I do have a concern with 3 down where it says scientific study site requiring an administrative use permit. So are you telling me that I need to come in and get a permit for the weather station that LWA put in 2 of my fields, which is part of a study?
So
not to mention the I have mm-hmm. 3 wells that are all being monitored by LWA, plus I have a scientific stream gauge in Scott River, plus I have a gauge for
right.
additional Sigma studies. Mm-hmm. I have
right.
probably over a dozen different studies taking place
yeah.
on my ranch right now.
So the current definition reads a particular area containing archaeological, anthropological, or historic artifacts or remains. So it's
okay.
more
so
of a
historical,
very
not science, not active science data collection.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you read that definition again, please?
Sure. Scientific study site is a particular area containing archaeological, anthropological, or historic artifacts or remains.
So maybe
let's get rid of scientific and let's change scientific.
But well, I got it.
Well, that's
sure.
included.
So I do archaeology as part of my work.
Historical site.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So are you saying I can't record sites or survey sites without a permit?
Well, no, that's like a part of your business, right? When you're out in the field.
Yeah.
Right? It's not.
But I'm just trying to see, like, where's the delineation with recording a site, determining site boundaries, location. We have to inventory and map everything that's on the site. Like, where's the delineation?
Right.
I mean, we record things
yeah.
for the National Historical Preservation.
Right.
Where is that? Because, I mean, I can tell you that's...
Yeah.
Would it be helpful to just change that name from scientific to...
Well, it's a new addition, so is there
archaeological?
Yeah.
It's not... Oh, was it carried over?
So currently, it's listed as an allowed... as a use that requires a conditional use permit in your open space, as currently codified.
Oh, okay, so it was a carryover.
It
okay.
is listed as a... Yeah, as a conditional use in... your open space zone. So
yeah.
I think
because I just want to make sure, like, if it's like a dig and you're looking up, you know, dinosaur bones and you're going to, you know, be excavating feet down, I get that. But with the archaeological definition, if it's recording sites, etc., like, we don't need any extra layers of permitting to record sites.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need yeah. more clarification. And then to that, there is a lot of research going on out in our forests. I would hate to see, to Jeff's point, a permit needed to go
right.
do our research sites that are, some
right.
of them have been in sight for decades.
Right, right.
So I just want to make sure that's clear.
And just a point of clarification to county staff, how often have you seen this come up?
Never in my time at the county.
So
we're hoping.
I would just word of caution, but something that hasn't necessarily been an issue, hasn't been brought up, I understand where the Planning Commission's coming from. Breaking that down is going to be really hard objectively to make that determination about, am I digging 5 feet down or am I just scraping the surface? What qualifies it when it starts to go into those other areas?
Yeah.
It might be a use that just gets scratched. in the end. Because I'm just thinking through how you would permit that, how would you quantify it.
Well, exactly, because every commercial project, rather you're selling a product or not, on a timber site, everything has to get surveyed. And we are scratching the dirt everywhere. So, like, I agree with you. Like, let's just scrap it, because for us to come get a county permit to then do a project with...
And I just wonder what the findings would be when you're making a determination on the use for approval. I'm not sure what those findings...
So what we do is we submit our archaeological... Well, first of all, we have to do an archaeological records check from, depending on where you're at, from the historical... And then we get all of the ARC records from the state repository. For the North State, it's Chico State is the repository. Then we have to go identify the sites that have already been recorded, and then confirm that the paperwork is in order. If it's not, we have to re-record or update the site record. And then we have to, based on, you know, what the findings are, if it's historical sites, prehistorical sites, we have to, and the topography of the land, the water resources, we then come up with a survey protocol where we're putting in transects, and then we have to go survey. If we find something, we then have to record. Then there's a determination of significance. You know, is it the best ditch, you know, is it the China ditch, or is it just some random ditch that doesn't have significance? So then there's that determination, and there's a whole criteria of what's determined. But for us to get a permit to do that seems
I would say the case that the Planning Commission's making, and then you're making in particular, is very similar to what Commissioner Fowle made with the dairies. If it's highly regulated, there's you know, checks and balances.
Oh yeah.
It's already being done. Does the county need to step in and add another layer? In this instance, I would probably recommend not.
Yeah. That would be my advice.
So it could get, you could strike it, or it would just be permitted. Permitted by right, it's just up to the commission.
Yeah.
Strike it.
Yeah, I would agree to strike it too. I think it's just an area we don't want to dip our toe into.
I have another one to propose to strike as well, and that's construction of levee or dike. We have state agencies that deal with that. Doesn't need to be in here.
Okay. Got it.
And now that we're basically at the end, I do have some to revisit on TPZ.
Let's do it.
You know, you guys don't mind backing up.
Absolutely.
So, okay, on page, I guess it would be page 197 under TPZ, under residential uses, there's no allowance for home occupation within TPZ. And I think that, you know, that should be just like ag, you know, that you have an AUP, because there's a lot of people that work from home on timberland and or managing, you know, the property.
Okay.
So that would be my recommendation for home occupation and home enterprise, that that's allowed to be
utilized.
Moving along on to...
Before you move on, Vice Chair, there's manufactured home. Is there a reason why we wouldn't allow that on TPZ?
No.
Should we do that as permitted?
Yeah, because you are allowed one. That's a good catch. Thank you. You are allowed a residential dwelling.
And the state doesn't see a difference.
And it doesn't. No. I was just going to say, and the state doesn't do it anymore. It's just single family home is what it says.
I have a quick question. Since you're a manufacturer, can somebody give me a what is a low barrier navigation center?
Oh, yeah.
Is that like something in
that's
stream?
It's
of docks?
You're transitioning from homelessness to
it's a homelessness shelter. It's a it's a certain type of homelessness shelter.
I was thinking like the Panama Canal.
So similar to like transitional housing, supportive housing, emergency shelter.
Oh, yeah, and another one. We're required to talk about
it. I forgot to ask that earlier. Yeah. I was trying to figure out what the heck that was.
Yeah. So, and then moving on to the industrial uses. So one thing is looking in the general code for TPZ at the state level, a compatible use for TPZ does show erection, construction, alteration, and maintenance of gas, electric, water, or communication facilities. So I see electric generation facilities on page 197. I was thinking at least we should allow some sort of use permit, you know, not a by right P, but something that, you know, that would make us consistent with the state compatible use definition.
197?
Yeah, 197 under land use, it says electrical generation facility.
Oh, you're back up at 197.
Yeah, 197, under TPC. Let's see, you are emergency shelter, keep going. Yeah, it's under, are you under land use or are you under residential uses? So keep going down.
So not page 97.
It's on page 201, very top.
Okay. Oh, gotcha. I'm going off of this cheat sheet and it's not coming. Land use, right there.
Okay.
And so that is a compatible use as per the state. And so, and I know of several properties that we've been involved with that have, you know, electrical generation on their ponds or
so this stream zones. Would be in TPZ?
In TPZ.
So a use permit?
Yeah, a use permit.
Okay.
I don't think it's a by right, but it is a compatible use. And then...
Before you go further,
go ahead.
I actually had a TPZ question right before that.
Okay.
What is the time that, is there a defined amount of time that triggers bulk storage? Is it 30 days that it sits on parcel? Is it a year?
No, we don't define that. It's quantity as much as what I would.
Okay, so here, I just want to make sure we're not getting ourselves into a potential issue on industrial uses. On page 200, and this applies to AG1, AG2, and TPZ. The warehousing I get, but bulk storage, whether it be a log deck, whether it be hay, whether it be grain, that's not allowed.
Well, that would be more with the agricultural enterprise definition, right? You have storage of those commodities and materials for your business.
Right, but I'm thinking TPZ, they go in and they cut the trees and they stack them.
They're
and
all just stacking the logs.
All of a sudden the market falls or they no longer have a place to go with them and they're trying to find them. The logs have to sit there for an extended period of time. To me, that is bulk storage.
Correct. So how? Go ahead. I'm going to say, I think that would still qualify, though, as the primary land use would be timber harvesting and growing, and that would, the storage of those logs incidental to that, I think accessory. The county, or accessory to that, the county wouldn't, for the most part, really care
about that. Okay, I was just, because there's the negative sign there, not allowed, I'm trying to weigh the two.
So how that happens is, when this table was created, they took all the land uses in our existing code, and compared it to the district. So bulk storage and warehousing probably existed in the industrial section of our code, but now we're using that same category in the AG1, AG2 open space category. So that's why, does that make sense?
That's why you're not seeing it as an allowed use there.
Because in the original, the current zoning code, that was probably under industrial, you know, the industrial district.
So. Okay, because I hear industrial timber, and so I'm thinking industrial use, log deck, how long is storage?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be indefinite.
Yeah.
And then,
Commissioner Hart has a wait.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll go back to this electrical generation facility.
Okay.
Does that mean solar panels? And the reason I'm asking this is because of this big push about water in stream, people changing their PODs and pumping water back.
Mm-hmm.
The only way it's feasible is with solar.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say our electrical generation facility definition calls out it does not include solar farms.
Yeah. Solar is a separate use.
Yeah, because you know when you're pumping water 2 or 3 miles,
yeah,
there's no way the ag product is going to pay for that.
Yeah.
But if you put it under solar, we can get a government grant to put it. Then it works.
Yeah, it's separate in the tables, and the solar farm is separate than just having solar panels to power your barn or your house.
Yeah.
This is meant for like larger right. scale electric.
Yeah, because this is not going to be sold on the grid.
A power plant.
Correct.
No. Yeah.
No.
And then even in the definition of TPZ, it calls out mm-hmm. electric or gas, electric, water,
right.
or communication, but not solar. So, and then if you go to under land use, keep going down to timber wood processing facility. Under TPZ, it's a blank, and that should be a UP as well.
Okay.
That is definitely a compatible use. It's right in there as far as, in the code at the state level, it says a use integrally related to the growing, harvesting, and processing of forest products, including but not limited to roads, log landings, log storage areas, as well as, where was it? I'm missing the definition, but it allowed for manufacturing of wood products. So I would encourage you.
From which section are you on? I'm sorry. On which page?
Land use under timber wood processing facilities.
202.
And I see a lot of like uptick with, discussions is like maybe we can't support a large industrial facility, but maybe there's the small portable sawmill,
yes.
That sort of thing.
And as we're in that section, I forgot to ask this before. The welding shop, machine shop, metal shop, not allowed on any of those. Is it because the word shop means it's a
commercial
enterprise whose sole purpose is to generate revenue from providing a welding
yes.
service?
Mm-hmm.
It does not
fixing
mean
your own
shop
equipment.
We
that's
weld
different.
And fabricate
right.
yeah.
It's not like a home
use.
Enterprise, which is different.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Or just repairing your own equipment or your
own
yeah.
business.
Clear
on
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That was a question I had too because there's a lot of gate fixing.
So just to confirm with the vice chair, the Timberwood Processing Facility, TPC, is a UP?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
We just did one of those down Scott River Road not too long ago.
I got written down.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Okay. And then along those lines, and I don't know if it's redundant, but if you kept going down to where like agricultural and resource uses as the heading, mm-hmm. and then you get to like agricultural processing, small scale, I wasn't sure if it was redundant. If the sawmill processing is just under that timber wood processing facility, or if there's overlap under agricultural processing small scale there. I was just thinking there is other wood products other than just 2x4s that come out of a forest. So I was thinking if Ag 1 and 2 are AUP, that TPZ should be AUP as well.
On the processing small.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
And then the same with the agritourism. There is some pressure with, some of the recreational stuff because hunting, fishing is a compatible use in state code.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, is that considered agritourism if you're selling a hunting permit, because
SPI, Acer Klamath, you know, they sell elk tags, deer tags, they go for big money. You know, that
they sell the tags, but is the recreation being done on their property?
Oh yeah.
They're
giving, you know, bull tags for the elk. I mean, they'll go for $20,000-$30,000, and then you use or more. And then you get the use of their property for the defined hunting season.
Okay. Now
we're not running into any conflicts with TPZ and opening it up to all this stuff.
No, it is a by right.
I just want to make sure. Yeah. Agritourism?
So
yeah,
I'm a really
It says, and I don't know if agritourism fits in that definition.
I don't think hunting fits in agritourism.
Okay. But I will say this, but hunting and fishing are compatible uses on timber.
Agritourism is a larger bucket. And
okay.
I have a feeling that's going to conflict with the intent of TPZ.
Okay.
So we may need to rethink. I see what you're saying. We may need to rethink a use that is.
Okay.
I think we'll have unintended consequences.
Okay. Yeah, and that's what I was asking. Like, I don't know if agritourism, but I do know those activities happen. And happens statewide, you know.
But
and
the state regulates the hunting.
They do.
So is that another one where the zoning would need to regulate it if the state's already regulating the hunting on the property seasonally?
Maybe not.
The state regulates the fishing too. They say fish the river that I own.
And it is compatible use by state definition of TPZ. So maybe it's a moot point.
Maybe we do that. I mean, it's not like they have a few cabins that they're renting out. It's a fly fishing resort environment where you have to have your permits and you stay there. If people are fishing on the property or hunting, they have to have state license.
Yeah, and usually they camp out or bring their RVs.
I think
maybe it's too deep into the weeds.
Well,
that just opens
another. Bring RVs. Now you're complicating the issue.
Now we're talking camping.
Yes.
But camping is a whole different allowance.
If we're strictly talking hunting and fishing,
yeah,
on different. Two lakes, then it should not be included under the definition of agritourism. It's licensed and monitored by the state, doesn't need to be included. However, if you're talking about no longer two-legged hunting and they're coming in with an RV, whether it be a fifth wheel or a mobile home, and they're parking it on the property, now you're talking about camping, which has its own category.
Yeah.
Could be included in agritourism if they're bringing their fifth wheel onto my ranch and doing ramping.
Well,
I
and
guess
like-
is what you. Instead of glamping, glorified camping on a ranch.
And it also gets into like the hip camp idea. Like
Which
that's a thing for TPZ.
Right.
So could it be under that?